You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we start today's broadcast with a Facebook question from Sean, who asks, Hank, is America mentioned in the Bible? And of course, the answer is no. America is not mentioned in the Bible. Only prophecy pundits with a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other find the U.S. in biblical prophecy. Mike Evans is a classic case in point. In his book, American Prophecies, he suggests that we might see America in Isaiah chapter 18. Why? Because it's a reference to a land divided by rivers. But if you read the context, Cush is not the U.S. in context. It is clearly ancient Ethiopia, and the river references to the Nile. He also says that if you look at Revelation 17 and 18, we could identify America with Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots. But again, as I note in the Apocalypse Code, only one nation in biblical history is inextricably linked to the moniker harlot, and that nation is Israel. And of course, then we have a lot of dispensationalists critiquing other dispensationalists. For example, Hal Lindsey, he acknowledges that America is not in Bible prophecy, so he resists those prophecy pundits who say it is. But then he says the fact that America is not in the Bible must mean that America will not be a significant player in the future. In other words, we will have lost all of our province and power. Well, all of that is rank speculation because America, bottom line, is not in the Scriptures. Well, many of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. First up today, Judy is listening on KQCV in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
A pleasure.
I'm sorry I don't have the part, you know, the passage where it says in the Bible about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My question is that there's one part where I believe it's Paul saying, what baptism were you baptized into? And the people told him the baptism of John. And he said, now I will baptize you into the baptism of Jesus. And the main question is in that they became saved and they began speaking in tongues and doing other things like that, kind of spiritual gifts. And I was just wondering if you can be baptized, you know, by the Holy Spirit. Does that mean you have to speak in tongues?
Well, no, it does not. I mean, there are certainly denominational distinctives in which, let's say, the Pentecostal denominations, they will say, yes, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is evidenced by speaking in tongues. And so the second blessing does have an evidence, and that evidence is speaking in tongues. But I think that goes beyond what Scripture says. Tongues may be a evidence, but to say it is the evidence, I think, goes beyond what Scripture clearly is communicating. Because if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the question is asked by Paul, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And then he says, but earnestly or eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, in saying that, he is making clear that not all believers speak in tongues. Thus, tongues is not the evidence, it is only a evidence. And I would say that the evidence, going back to a passage that you alluded to, at least in part, if you look at the book of Acts, you see what happened when Jesus Christ left. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised,
right,
which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And of course, he's talking about what is coming at Pentecost. And then he said, "When they met together, they asked the Lord, 'Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" So the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is clearly, in this case, the fact that they are going to be witnesses to Jesus Christ, which is precisely what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter, without so much as a megaphone, had the opportunity to lead thousands to faith in Christ.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better. Thank you. Yeah, because, I mean, I just feel the same. There can't be just that speaking in tongues is evidence of it, and if you don't, you're not saved, because I know too many people, and I feel myself, I've never spoken in tongues, but I'm saved.
Yeah.
So that was my big question.
Sure, and Paul
makes, so
you're welcome. Paul, of course, makes this so plain. Believers are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and yet not all who believe speak in tongues. So tongues may be a manifestation, but tongues cannot be the manifestation. But even if one does speak in tongues, it's not a guarantee that they have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. Indeed, without love," Paul says, "I'm nothing." And so, unfortunately, we have people today that apply socio-psychological manipulation tactics like peer pressure, the power of suggestion, and they induce ecstatic utterances wholly apart from the Spirit of God. They prime the pump. Scripture makes clear that the normative sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, but the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. Your repentance from sin, your obedience to God. Those who live in accordance with the Scripture have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The fruit of the Spirit is not merely speaking in tongues. It's love, joy, peace. It's patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. It's self-control. And that's why I say so often, righteousness, not tongues, is the core of Christianity, compressed in a single word. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk next to Isaac, listening on WRFD, Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Isaac.
Hi, how you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just had a twofold question. I hope I'm asking it right. The 104,000 are from the tribes of Israel, but my question was, why is the tribe of Dan excluded from that 144,000? And I noticed that Ephraim was not in there also. And I was just wondering, is that a reason that the tribe of Dan was not in that particular number?
Well, yeah, there's a reason, because the variation of the lists of the tribes are quite ubiquitous throughout Scripture. So you have variant lists that include anywhere from 10 to 13 tribes.
Exactly.
So no list needs to be identical. Rather, the context determines the list that is used in any given time. But the fact that Dan is not listed may not have the kind of significance that you're associating with it. And the reason I would say that is that there is a, I think, a fault in the premise of the question. The 144,000 biblically are the full complement of God's people. In other words, the 12 tribes times the 12 apostle of the Lamb times 1,000, it is a way of communicating the full complement of the people of God.
So is that just including the tribe? Is that just including the Israeli?
This is the Gentiles also. Yes, this is the full complement of God's people. That is the whole point.
Okay, because it was it's been discussed that Dan supposedly had, the tribe of Dan supposedly had did something against God that excluded them from being in that particular number, and I was just wondering what was it they did. I always hear that, but no one ever says what they did.
Well, if you look at Dan and Ephraim, the reason that they are sometimes said to be excluded is because both tribes are associated with idolatry. Remember, Jeroboam and the northern tribes split from Rehoboam and the southern tribes, and they set up two golden calves, one in Dan and the other in Bethel or Ephraim. And he did that because he didn't want people to worship in Jerusalem, so he set up an alternative with the golden calves. And as a result, Jeroboam was cursed by God, which was the beginning of the end for Israel at the time. But some have suggested that Dan is omitted because Dan was among the first tribes to practice idolatry, as just noted. But Dan is mentioned in Ezekiel 48 in one of the lists, and that is long after the judges. But getting back to the essence of the question, the 144,000 and the great multitude in Revelation are not two different peoples, but they're two different ways of describing the same purified bride, which is a literary construction. The 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. John is told about a lion, and that he turns to see a lamb. So he's told about the 144,000, and he turns to see a great multitude. So the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. The same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. From the other, she is innumerable, a great multitude that no one can number. This whole notion that is suggested that, you know, this is 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, and that means exactly 12,000, not 11,999 or 12,001, has to stretch credulity beyond the breaking point. Because look, 10 of the 12 tribes were lost. They lost their national identity almost 3,000 years before in the Assyrian exile. And the other two, Judah and Benjamin, were largely decimated 2,000 years ago by Roman hordes.
Yeah.
So the pattern of Scripture is always to refer to the community of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, with Jewish designations.
Okay, I understand. So in a nutshell, if I'm Gentile, which I know I'm not Jewish, so I'm from some tribe. In order to say,
you are Jewish in one sense. You are true Israel. True Israel, or Israel in that sense, the royal priesthood, the chosen nation, the people called out for God's own purposes, as Peter describes them, using the same language that was actually applied to Israel in the Old Testament, they are from every tongue and tribe and language and people and nation. So just as Ruth, who was a Moabite, was true Israel, in fact was in the lineage of Jesus Christ, so you too are true Israel. And you are in the lineage of Jesus Christ by spirituality, because you are in fact true Israel, because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So it's never an identification that is made as a result of your race, but rather of your relationship.
Thank you, Hank. You're so informative, and I pray for your strength in the Lord always.
Well, thank you. You are an encouragement to me. Thank you, my brother. Of course, the 144,000 represent true Israel as it was intended to be, in perfect symmetry and providentially sealed. And we see that throughout the scriptures. I've written about that in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. By the way, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll personalize a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book for you, a family member or friend. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be back with more in just a moment.
To remain faithful in a world that claims subjective feelings are just as reliable as objective facts, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. To find out more or request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. Stay tuned, because the Bible Answer Man will return after this. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. And now you can join the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7-plus inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and 5-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute is our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff could very well change your mind about coming events and why a proper understanding of biblical prophecy matters so much. The Apocalypse Code addresses today's most asked prophecy questions, but more than that, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. Yet this book does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it provides a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. Now available in softcover, you can order your copy at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or online at equip.org. And now, we return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to your questions. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk next to Forrest. He's listening in Hutchinson, Kansas. Hi, Forrest.
Hi. Yeah, actually, I got more than one question, but if you had the time, hope you can understand me because I've had several strokes.
I can understand you, Forrest. You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay. Anyway, to start with, I've never been married, but I have about five adopted in my heart grandsons.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, he's really done me some dirt, and he calls me a user. I live alone, can't see, and I do use people, but I always pay them for what they do, for their services. And he's got to where he's just called me, says I'm a user of people. I'm just a user, that's all I am. And when I found this out, he wouldn't answer his phone, do nothing. And I told him, I said, I'm through with you. I don't want any more to do with you. If I'm a user, then fine. You don't want to have anything to do with me either, I guess.
So are you struggling with forgiveness? Is that the issue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this goes back quite a ways, too. Clear back to my folks, because they really, really treat me mean.
Yes.
And it's been hard to forgive them. I never have been able to completely forgive.
Well, listen carefully, Forrest, because forgiveness ultimately leads to the restoration of fellowship. And restoration of fellowship demands that reconciliation is always a two-way street. If I am to forgive you, you must be repentant. Otherwise, there's no restoration of fellowship. In other words, forgiveness demands that two parties are involved. And the example ultimately is God. God objectively offers us forgiveness. He offers us the restoration of fellowship, but that forgiveness is not subjectively realized unless we repent. So if you are willing to forgive, the other party in these situations has to want to be forgiven. If that's the case, then true reconciliation can take place. Hang on, Forrest. Let's see if we can talk to you off air as well and see if we can be help to you. Yeah, the issues that you are struggling with. Let's go next to Everett. Everett is listening in Nashville, Tennessee on WCRV. Hi, Everett.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine. I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to your show a few months. I really read the Word, I've got a question for you that's been disturbing me a long time, and it's actually in Judges, the 11th chapter, where it talks about Jephthah returning back from fighting the children of Ammon, and he made a vow unto the Lord that who would walk through the door that he would offer up as a sacrifice, which turned out to be his daughter. And I've just been struggling from what I've read of the Bible, and the Word talks about that. Then it says after 2 months, she went off to her friends, and then after the 2 months he returned, and then from the way I read in the Bible in that particular passage of scripture, that she was actually offered up as a burnt sacrifice. And so I was just wanting to see if you could give me, shed some light on that, to where I could maybe understand this a little bit, because it appears to me that she was burnt, and I'm trying to take this into the relationship, how to even understand it or focus it.
Sure. Yeah, interesting passage. Jephthah was not offering human sacrifice to the Lord, in that Jephthah, as a judge, would not have compounded one evil, which was the breaking of an oath, by a greater evil, the sin of human sacrifice.
Right.
His daughter was offered not as a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. And we see that actually in the text. For the rest of her life, she would be a virgin. And not to bring children into the world or continue the lineage of her father would have been a tremendous sacrifice, both for her father and for herself. But if you look at verse 38, it makes it crystal clear that Jephthah's daughter did not go out and mourn her impending death, but rather her perpetual virginity.
Right, I see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jephthah, of course, was a judge, and he was not to practice as a judge the detestable ways of the pagan nations, and one of those detestable ways was the fact that the pagans actually participated in human sacrifice. Israel was set apart to be a light to the nations rather than conforming to the ways of the nations.
So she was basically as a representative as a burnt sacrifice. She wasn't actually burnt. That's what was so disturbing to me. I'm trying to take this into relationship what I've read through the Bible, and it's like, it's hard for me to believe that she was burnt, you know. But I see what you're saying. She was basically, the sacrifice itself was her being a virgin through the rest of her life. And then he also, as a burnt sacrifice, was giving up, as far as the grandchildren not having any children through her and through his lineage, I guess.
Yes.
Am I clear?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it in the text yourself. I mean, if you go to verse 37, she asks her dad to grant one request, give me 2 months to roam the hills and weep with my friends because I will never marry, not because I'm going to die. And they said, you may go. And he let her go for 2 months, and she and the girls went in the hills and wept because she would never marry. After the 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed, and she was a virgin. It wasn't that she was sacrificed.
Okay, I tell you, that makes me feel so much better, because I was having a total misunderstanding of that. I mean, and if you don't really, I have to say, I do appreciate from listening to you. You've got to read the word for all it's worth, and it's so easy to overpass those things. That's been a real load off of me. I appreciate it.
You got it. And Everett, let me tell you about Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth. It's a little flip chart that we have.
Uh-huh.
It's a brand new resource. I think it would help you a lot. What it basically does is it gives you the principles and the art and science of biblical interpretation. And once you master those, and I give them to you in a memorable format, once you master those, the Bible will open up like a fragrant rose, and you'll start to be able to read it for all it's worth.
Right. It's important that I see what you mean. I mean, like I said, I've been reading the Bible for 10 years, and I try to stay pretty much as far as discipline about doing it. But I mean, like I say, being listening to you, it's just really changed my whole mental outlook on how to absorb the Bible. So I appreciate you, and you've been a great help to me.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk next to Lee, listening on WCRV, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Lee.
Afternoon, Hank. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your ministry.
Well, my pleasure.
I heard you say earlier to another caller about self-control, and I suppose that's what my issue is today. Earlier this afternoon, I was physically assaulted by another guy. It was unprovoked, it was just words, and then it turned into an actual physical assault. But the guy ended up going to the hospital, and I am concerned And the Bible says, you know, that retaliation is forbidden in Matthew 5. And when Jesus was talking about somebody strikes you on one cheek, to turn it to the other. And I'm just having I'm having an issue with that, and how it affects my witness.
Yeah, Jesus is using throughout the Sermon on the Mount what we call prophetic hyperbole. In other words, he says that, you know, lust is such a horrible sin that you're better off gouging out your eye than your whole body going into hell. In other words, you don't want to be thrown into hell, and therefore it's better for you to lose a member of your body than to go into hell for all eternity. So again, he's using prophetic hyperbole to stress a point. And I think the same thing is true in this particular passage that you reference in the Sermon on the Mount. Someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. He's using hyperbole to stress the supremacy of relationship over goods or over anything else. And that's got to be paramount. But he's not saying that you cannot defend yourself, because there's ample evidence in the Bible that you can defend yourself. But the ultimate good is always to be meek and mild and to seek to use every opportunity to be a witness for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to give you a little more context, in the ancient Near East, one could be prosecuted for striking another on the cheek because it was considered an egregious insult.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying we should tolerate those kinds of insults, because we are representatives of Christ and we want to be Christ-like.
Okay. So self-defense is okay?
Self-defense is okay. Jesus commends self-defense, but he does not ever commend the aggressive use of weapons, whether it's a gun or a sword or your hand.
I understand. And this, to be honest with you, this is the first time that I have been in this kind of situation since I was saved. And before that, it didn't matter and it didn't bother me, but now it does. So.
Well, that's the Holy Spirit working within you, my brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And again, this is another one of those questions that reminds me of the flip chart. The flip chart, I put this together because I felt like so many questions were coming in, which demonstrate that people don't have that art and skill at their fingertips. So I want to put it at their fingertips. So again, why I put the flip chart together. If God has spoken, what has God said? You can master the principles of biblical interpretation in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. This is a memorable guide to the art and science of biblical interpretation, and it is available for your gift to the ministry. So if you'd like lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth, for yourself, a family member, a friend, a gift, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by. You can call 888-7000-CRI. And do remember, we have a subscription magazine. It's called the Christian Research Journal. In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, my acronym, DISCERN, it puts discernment tools into your hands so you can discern for yourself the difference between truth and error. The Christian Research Journal, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back in a moment with more of your questions.
For 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been serving the body of Christ, equipping believers to know what they believe, why they believe, and who they believe. If the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast have impacted your life, we'd like to give you the opportunity to encourage others with your testimony. You can leave your testimony by calling 866-253-4656. Again, that's 866-253-4656, or by going online to equip.org/testimonies. Also, a special thank you to all of you who have continued to support this ministry prayerfully and financially.
equipping believers around the globe. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. Let's return now to the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Barbara, listening on KARI in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
I'm calling about, we have a gay pride thing happening at our school, and one of our gals at church was going to go to the gay parade in Vancouver, and I was encouraging her not to because it's an abomination to the Lord. And she has a young friend who is, he is gay. So I was looking in scripture of where, besides Lot, where it talks about that in the Old Testament.
Well, it talks about that throughout the Bible. If you look at the Bible, Paul explains very clearly that homosexuality is something that is an aberrant behavior, and therefore it is destructive to the fabric of society. He says women exchange natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandon natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. So we have in Scripture both old and new, and certainly in the story of Lot, but other references in the Old Testament as well, which tell us that God has set parameters around our lives. As such, a man should not lie with another man as a man lies with a woman, nor should a woman lie with another woman. This is something that God forbids because God has in mind the best interest of people. So if we love homosexuals, we don't tell them what they want to hear. We tell them what they need to hear. Otherwise, we're being unkind to them, unloving to them. But the Bible is replete with texts. You can look at Leviticus 18 in the Old Testament, Judges 19, and then in the New Testament, it's not just Romans 1. Think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So the Bible is pretty clear in many of its passages that this is something that is detrimental not only for time, but also for eternity.
Yes, and today we can see over the earth the results of the homosexual act. And I was wondering, I was looking in Genesis for Noah, because it says, just as in the days of Noah.
Well, they were engaged in the time of Noah in all kinds of licentiousness, and as a result of that, God judged them. In fact, the world was judged in the time of Noah such that the entire earth was destroyed by the flood. In other words, the then known civilization, this was universal with respect to man, was destroyed as a result of their wickedness.
Yes, yes. Now, my daughter-in-law is gay as well, and we haven't had... she used to go to church and even wrote a beautiful thing to my husband about we know where we're going with the Lord Jesus. And we just keep praying. If she did know him, she will come back to him. But it's we're praying for that time that we can speak with her again.
Yeah, love her. Demonstrate the reality of your love through your life. Both are terrific witnesses to her. And then have the opportunity to witness with your words as well as God gives you the opportunity. But yeah, I think that one of the things we need to realize is that there are attendant moral and medical problems with sexual promiscuity in general. And I think it's homophobic in the extreme to obscure the scientific realities regarding homosexuality. In fact, I would even call it a hate crime to attempt to keep a whole segment of the population in the dark concerning issues which affect them in devastating ways. If you look at what is going on in society, you recognize immediately that the Bible's warnings are not antiquated, but they're up-to-date and relevant. The kinds of ramifications are plain for all to see. I mean, it's not only the fact that more people already have died from AIDS than the United States of America has lost in all its wars combined. And that's just the tip of an insidious iceberg. The homosexual lifestyle causes a host of complications, hemorrhoids, prostate damage, infectious fissures, and even that merely scratches the surface because there are all kinds of non-viral infections transmitted through homosexual activity, gonorrhea, syphilis, viral infections, hepatitis A and B, and so forth. So this is a serious thing, and if we love people, we want to talk about the ramifications of their action,
yes,
simply
and the, and
to
the
save them from that action.
They're being brought up in those families, even adopting, and even in our kindergartens, they're and our schools, they're teaching about the alternative relationships.
Yeah, and the big problem is that they talk about homosexuality as though it is an identity. My daughter-in-law, she comes in, she says, well, I'm gay, as though that's an identity. No, it's not an identity. It is a behavior.
Yeah.
We've actually, it's very relevant that you called today because our brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal has an article that's relevant here because it defines and defends the biblical concept of the family and marriage. So the new Christian Research Journal deals specifically with the issue that you brought up. Good talking to you. Back to the phone calls. Let's talk next to Richard, listening on KCLV, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My question is regards with Catholicism. I've been in a relationship with a girl who's Catholic, and I'm wondering about, is it biblical for intermarriage between those? I know that we disagree on how we get salvation. I'm Protestant, and I would just like your advice on that.
Well, you want to be equally yoked. You want to know that you are worshiping the same God in the same way, which is to say, Jesus Christ revealed to us that he is the propitiation, that he is the bridge between man and God, that we can never be reconciled to God without the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, Catholic soteriology is different than Protestant soteriology. A Catholic says that you are saved by God's grace alone, but that grace produces in the life of the believer faith infused with works, and then they believe that the works are meritorious. We believe, as Protestants, that you are saved by God's grace alone through faith alone on account of Jesus Christ alone. So we can't bring anything. We simply reach out the hand of a beggar to receive the gift of a king. Now, you want to make sure that if you're going to marry someone, they realize they're a sinner, they've repented of their sin, and received Jesus Christ as the assurance for everlasting life, that Jesus Christ has paid it all to him I owe. Not that you can do something to earn or deserve heaven, but what you do is a gift of gratitude to God for what you have freely received as a result of his finished work. So in a biblical sense, there's just nothing that you can bring other than yourself humbly saying, I can never be good enough to be acceptable to God, so I receive the free gift of eternal life, your sacrifice on my behalf.
And so if you can agree upon that, you think it's okay, but if not, then you should probably shy away from it.
Well, if she is a believer, then you can marry her because you're equally yoked. But if she is not a believer, then you're not equally yoked. And then you're going to have a problem for the rest of your life because it's like a donkey and a cow pulling a cart. It's not equally yoked, and the cart is going to collapse and go all over the place. It's going to have ramification with your kids in your own marital life and love. So the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. So if you know that she loves Jesus Christ, she serves Jesus Christ, she's been redeemed by Jesus Christ, then you have commonality in Christ. If not, then you shouldn't enter into a relationship and be unequally yoked.
Okay. And she would agree with all the things that you just said and has said those. It's just that she says, and every time she sins, though, she falls out of that grace until she repents in confession. And so I'm really confused about that. Are we really saying the same thing on that. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you want to make that a priority so that you know that you're saying the same thing, because she comes out of a context where you're probably speaking a different language. So you want to make sure that you scale that language barrier, particularly if you're planning on spending a life together. Do this ahead of time, not after the fact.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking time to answer my question.
You are entirely welcome, and we're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I do want to remind everyone that Monday through Friday at this time, you can call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265, and you can get your question answered on the air. Resources available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. So a lot of the topics that I talk about, I've dealt with. The information is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And as always, you can contact the Christian Research Institute by writing Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are also standing by when you dial 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And you've probably heard me refer to the Christian Research Journal a number of times in the broadcast. It's our award-winning magazine. No Christian home should be without it. If the issue you're asking about isn't dealt with, and the issue that you currently have, you can bet it's going to come up in the future. It's our must-have tool for your apologetics arsenal. It's on the cutting edge in the battle for what is true and right, because it probes today's religious movements, promotes critical thinking, and provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. Again, you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal in a safe, secure way on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Out of time for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts, so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. Thank you for your prayers and support. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. And now you can join the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7-plus inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible.
Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read.
Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years.
The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.